Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Yeah, except not really Friday. It's not Friday for us, but it's Friday for everyone else.
Yes, yes. We can just pretend.
Yes, and hopefully it's happy. We can future pull. We can manifest a happy Friday.
Yes, when really it's the, you just had your birthday. So it is the first time I'm chatting with you since your big birthday. I mean, not a big birthday numbers wise, but I believe all birthdays are big, birthdays. So because they're birthdays. Yeah. So happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. So did you have a good weekend?
I did.
Celebrating.
I did. I had a good weekend. It was a lot of book stuff, unsurprisingly, right? The book is coming out this year. So obviously, if I had not been born, the book would not be written. So it makes sense to celebrate the two together. Mm-hmm. And that is fun to do that without the pressure of the actual book being out. It's not the book's birthday. It's my birthday. So, and I got the best cupcakes from you with the little picture of the cover on it, which I thought was edible and was not.
Oh, it's not?
It's not.
I would have thought those little.
Okay, now I feel... I feel a little better.
100% also, would have believed
okay,
that.
Okay, they were sprinkles cupcakes. And sprinkles does put these like hard sugar things on their cupcakes. Okay, thank you. It's not edible. It was paper and the ink did not taste good. It was like all over my mouth. I was so excited to eat my book.
I 100% would have done that. So don't feel badly. Okay. But it looked great, but apparently,
looked
not
fantastic
edible.
And was so cute and cool and such a thoughtful gift. So that was started things off on the right foot, on the with the right tone. But I really, the most memorable thing for my birthday is yoga, which is just something I want to talk about anyway. I mean, it's like, it's life changing for me. Mm-hmm. And I've practiced yoga for many years now, over a decade. And I've known how useful and important it is to me, but I've lost my way with my practice in recent years, for sure. Certainly the pandemic and everything shutting down was a huge part of that, and I never really found my way back until recently. And this year, I made it a goal of mine to really be consistent with the practice. And holy cow, it's made such a difference.
Oh,
it
wow.
is. But I probably wouldn't have brought it up except today on the Chani app, the astrologer, the name of her meditation for the day is Busy Mind. And something that my yoga teacher talked about in class was how important it is to be busy. It feels like counter-programming these days because so many people say like it's bad to be busy and you'll lose your life if you're just busy, 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 busy. And that is true. That is absolutely true.
Yes.
But what this meditation for the day and what my yoga teacher was talking about was it's only after the busyness, when you take the moment of stillness and silence, that you can transcend the busyness, transcend your mind, transcend your thoughts. I want to just look it up real quick. Chani said, there's no way to force the mind into stillness, but what we can do is learn how to be a better witness and a better observer of what the mind is doing, the stories it loves to tell us, and the feedback loops that it gets stuck in. And again, bringing it back to yoga, this is why you go through a rigorous asana practice, which is moving your body. It is then at the end. It's all that time moving is just for the end when you can sit in real stillness.
I love that. But, you know, I wonder, so you're saying, because like you said, most people get too busy and they are just doing things to avoid, right? I've been just having a conversation with a friend who literally called it a coping mechanism. I'm just going to keep moving so that I can avoid dealing with things.
Yes.
I always thought the answer was it's what is your busyness? Meaning if you're filling your time with fulfilling things or yoga or life affirming things, which I understand we can't all do that all day, but you're saying is it's okay to be any of these versions of busy as long as you stop and reflect what just stop at some point and just acknowledge it. Is that
no, what I think, well, I mean, I don't know what would work or not, but I can say what I do and what these two practices are teaching me is to, when you sit in quiet, because this is another thing that on a different meditation day, she was talking about, you don't want to just sit and think. That's not meditation. Sitting and thinking is not meditation. What you're trying to do is witness those thoughts. Like, so you think about something and you go, oh, what was I just thinking about? Why am I thinking about that? Where, like, what's behind it? And so you sit with yourself. And if you think about what that says, you sit with yourself. Who is you and who is yourself?
Right.
That's the goal of meditation. It's not to sit and think with your eyes closed. It is to sit with yourself. And then you observe, you witness, you see your own patterns, you look at your thoughts as if they're not yours. And that is where so much of the awareness, so much of the grace, so much of the things that we need to give ourselves, that we all need to give ourselves, come from.
Okay, so I'm really getting nitty gritty here.
Yes,
so
let's do it.
Well, no, because I was literally just having this conversation with someone and was citing that passage that I read to Suzanne Scanlon when we just did her interview from her memoir on madness and how the the inability to sit still. So this has all been coming up a lot lately.
I know. And yeah, go.
Interesting that you, but so let's just take the example that a lot of people feel of the, I was busy, busy, busy all day, just because that's just what I'm doing. And I'm, and maybe I'm trying to avoid things, whatever. So with that person, if they're following this suggestion, would at least just stop and observe, well, how did I busy myself today? How did I feel during it? What are they doing?
Don't think about something. That would be sitting and thinking.
Okay.
There may be rewards to sitting and thinking. Yeah. This is not what I'm talking about.
Right, right.
Meditation would be sitting with no agenda, no thought, no anything. Because you sit down and you go, oh, my knee hurts. All right. Well, and then you move past your knee hurts. You're like, I'm mad at this person, or this really hurt my feelings. Or you have to try to catch those thoughts, because if you don't catch it, you'll be down a rabbit hole. And it's fine. Because maybe you catch yourself 12 steps down and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, what happened? How did I get here? I just sat down to meditate. And then you notice what you catch. You think, what is that really about? What can I do about it? And you just like register it. And think, okay, this is what I'm thinking about. And then you stop. And as soon as you notice, it stops. The thought pattern stops. And then it'll start again. Then that thing's kind of wiped away. And you're like, oh, but then I have to do this thing. And you know, and you realize all the things you have to do that you haven't done. And you're like, okay, let me think about that. Am I being cruel to myself? Do I have such high expectations of myself? Is it okay to have high expectations, but to give myself grace when I fail at them? Like, how do I want to move through the world?
That's not thinking.
It's thinking about the thoughts. I love the way she said it. We need to be an observer, right?
Yes.
I want to go back to that.
A witness.
There's no way to force the mind into stillness, but what we can do is to learn how to be a better witness and a better observer of what the mind is doing, the stories it loves to tell us, and the feedback loops it gets stuck in.
Feedback loops. I get too. There's something I get on this loop about something. I'm catching it more now. I am. Yeah. I do. And it's funny. I did feel like that was progress. Not that I had any answer for it, but I'm like, oh, wait, I know what this is. This is the thing you do every time.
Yeah.
You know, this thing comes up.
Yes.
Yep. And you're like, oh, and again, like I said, I don't have any answer. It's just, now I'm familiar with this. I see it. Okay. Yeah. Got it.
So let me say that is a pretty advanced technique, thing, tool, whatever. For me, I needed to start with yoga because the asana practice, because I didn't know I was being mean to myself. I didn't know I was hard on myself. I thought this is what excellence requires. It didn't seem mean to me at all or critical or anything. So what I learned from yoga was first of all, there's a lot of instructions. This is not something anyone knows what to do. There are words that are not in English. They're Sanskrit terms often. So that's unfamiliar. You have to learn those. And you learn them as you listen and as you are instructed. You have to listen every moment. And it's like, put your foot here. And then there'll be so many cues. Like your thigh should be, you're turning outward. Your shoulder blades should be poking in, but your ribs not poking out. So what is that? You know, like it's a lot to manage. And then it's like she overloads you with cues. And then all of a sudden you go, are you holding your breath? Are you, are you yelling at yourself? Are you like, God, are you white knuckling this pose? Find some freedom. Mm-hmm. And so all of those things I was able to see for myself, what I might, the way I treated myself in yoga. And that helped me over a decade see how I was treating myself in real life. And then extends to other people and all that stuff. So yeah, that was a big one.
Yeah. Wow. Yoga is back in full force for Corinne.
Oh, it's so good. It's so, so good. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. Another way that I observe myself is listening to other people's stories and seeing what I relate to and what I don't relate to. And I randomly listened to Minka Kelly was promoting her book a while ago on Dax Shepard, Armchair Experts. That interview blew my mind. I had no idea about her past, her childhood. There was so much I could relate to there. The way they had conversations, I related to so much. It's something that I have been starting to explore myself. Like, what was it like for me as a child to grow up in a household with chaos and addiction the way I did? And that conversation just blew my mind. I immediately bought the book.
Have you read her book? Because people love that.
Tell me everything. I mean, it was a New York Times bestseller for many weeks. So yes, people love it, but people love it for all different reasons. And it's pretty, she in the interview is very, she doesn't sensationalize any of it. She doesn't like glorify any of it. She is basically like, you know, there's many gifts to the way I grew up too, which is always what I struggled with, that when I would tell my stories, people would be like, oh, that's terrible. Or that's, you know, and I would feel pitied. And I'm like, you don't need to pity me, A, and B, there was so much good stuff too. So I don't know. I related. It was such an interesting way to witness myself. That's not witnessing myself.
Right. Right. It's just not you, but parts of you that you could relate to.
Yeah. And the way we speak about it and the reactions from other people and the way we manage those things. It was an incredible interview and an incredible book. I feel, it's got a lot out of that.
It's so interesting because I assumed when that book was doing so well that it must be, you know, a lot of these celebrity memoirs, they can get on these things because of their celebrity. Sure. But, you know, listen, if you're a Friday Night Lights fan, she's everything. But I think, you know, she's not exactly, you know, super, superstar.
No, so, I didn't watch Friday Night Lights. I really don't know anything about her.
Yeah. And so the content, I feel amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
How about you? What do you have
on? Well, today is a full moon, Corinne, when we're recording this. And you know how I am with full moons.
I know. They affect you much more than they affect me. So I would have been interested.
But it's also eclipse season.
I'm a new moon bitch.
Yeah. Well, that was a couple of weeks ago, right? So, and it's eclipse season and we have a lunar eclipse and this full moon in Libra. And if I read one more Instagram meme about how chaos is going to bring chaos in Libra, it's going to be around partnership and relationships and endings, things will end or patterns will need to end. I mean, I feel this. I don't know what it means. So when I don't know what it means, I do turn to the cards. I've been very off the tarot cards. Okay. You asked me on the last Friday preview. I was like, here and there. And I have this tarot book where I'm supposed to, this workbook, but I was told I wasn't really doing it. So today, this morning, because of all these celestial happenings, I opened the book. I'm going to hold the book, but if you're listening, you can't see it. But this like workbook.
Oh, right? For full moon.
For full moon. Yeah. Okay. And I know they have these. I've done them before, but I haven't done it in a while. And it's intimidating because it makes you pick six cards. good with the big spreads.
Yeah.
And this one, though, they kind of idiot-proof it. So there are six cards that you pick, and they relate to six questions that So where am I right now is the first one. What is influencing me is the second one. What have I created since the last new moon? What is no longer serving me? How can I let go and release this energy? And the last one is, what can I learn during this cycle? And so you pick a card to go with each of those questions.
Yeah.
And I was like, just do it. Just do it properly. Pick all six. Write it down. Like, actually do the workbook. Sometimes I just half-ass it and pick one card or whatever. I mean, but before I did it, I was like, oh, I should read again, though. You know, and I've said it on here many times, I did the 12-month spread. So
what is March for you?
March for me is the strength card. And I went back. I knew that, but I was like, let me go back and read that before I even opened this. I was like, maybe the answer's in there. The answer, you know what I mean? So I just read the notes I had on the strength card. I'm like, okay, fine. So I go to do this. First question is, where am I right now? What do you think I pick? The strength card.
Oh, okay.
Like, I'm literally, where are you right now? Like, that is where I am.
Yes.
That was weird right out of the gate. I'm like, you got to be kidding me, because I just read that and just refreshed, because that really was my starting point. That's right. That is where I am right now.
Yes.
Anyway, so I was like, all right, you better keep going here, Kate, because that, okay. Anyway, so I will not bore people with all the rest of my cards that I picked, but let me just tell you. Mm. If you'd asked me before I did this, there would be no way that six picks would make sense. Like at one point throughout.
Right, sure. You'd be like, oh, that's a throwaway.
This doesn't make any sense. Like that's not what's influencing me right now. Uh-huh. Oh my God. It was like bam, bam, bam.
Oh my God.
Every single one. And even ones where I thought, oh, I don't know. Like I checked like the one book and I was like, this isn't making sense for me. Then I went online and read something else. And I was like, oh my God, that's what it
that is.
That's the point of that. It was crazy. Really crazy.
My gosh.
Really helpful. So listen, the cards, I guess they come back when I need them. And today was super useful. And then because I've definitely lost my mind, I saw an Instagram post this morning for the lunar eclipse and the full moon. And it was a cleansing ritual.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I see these things and I'm like, I don't have, you know, cardamom and I'm kidding. But like there are these recipes, like
of
potions.
Course. Yeah.
This was simply, I did it, Corinne. I did it. Yeah. You pour salt, like pour sea salt on your left hand over the sink, and you rub it as you think of the things you want to rid yourself of. And then it's a cleansing, and then you rinse it off. And you say this mantra that they tell you to say. So I am standing over the sink
doing it
with my salt rub. I mean, I thought, hey, even if it doesn't work, my hands are exfoliated. It's fine. It's fine.
That's right.
And then you had to air dry your hands. I don't know. Apparently, because you don't want to wash off that and dry off that energy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love that.
Ooh. So I was tapping into the powers here today, and I usually take a bath on a full moon. I have these, my friend bought me these full moon bath crystals. I might do that later too.
Okay. You still have time. Do you think that, I mean, there are so many influences that it could be, but do you think that maybe, because I am more of a, like the new moon affects me, and maybe that's because I'm a cardinal sign and full moons do not affect me. Maybe because I, as a cardinal sign, as an Aries, who knows, as so many things, I have no problem letting go of things. Letting go is super easy for me.
Right. Yeah.
But you are a fixed sign. And
we don't like them.
No, it's not even endings. I think someone was like, it's beginnings and endings. Fixed is the middle.
No, we're in the middle.
Yes.
We're in the middle. We're not
any
even
change is disruptive to a fixed sign.
Yes.
So endings, no. That's
transformation. All of these themes for me are around like transformation. There was something else you pointed out in my chart.
Yeah.
To go look up the other day. This internal transformation. Yeah. That's change. That's the part we don't, it's not even an end. It's just, as you're saying, a letting go, a letting other things in. We're just like, but we're right here in the middle. What are you doing? We're not doing any of those things. We're just proceeding. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So but, yes.
But yes, but I think that sometimes one, not you, just mm-hmm. one can stumble into a beginning. Things just begin. And
yeah.
endings have to be more intentional. That seems much more in line with something that would be a challenge for you. And so mm-hmm. it makes sense that these are the moments in the month that are like those lessons for you to yeah. pick up on.
And there's yeah. one I'm looking, yeah, Son of Swords. So this is in the Wild Unknown tarot deck, which is a different, there's a couple that are different than the traditional yeah. one. So there is no equivalent Son of Swords or something else. But anyway, her image you'll love
yeah.
is like this like owl or like bird like thing with talons. And in he's holding like a wand, like pointing at something and just like, and it's The message was about how like you have your sights set on something, you're ambitious, you'll do it, but like maybe you have some blinders on mm-hmm. is literally the thing I read. Like,
oh my gosh.
You're so focused on the goal
yeah.
that maybe you're not looking out the side view vision for challenges or what else might be coming or yeah. maybe another way. And I was like, yeah. oh, this seems a little bit spot on.
Yeah.
Just generally. Oh, I mean, wow. So even the imagery. Yeah. On one, I was like, oh, Corinne would die. She would
yes.
have blinders. Kate has some blinders on.
Yes.
We were getting a little woo-woo this morning without us knowing it. You with the yoga. Yeah. I'm over here with the cards.
I know.
And there's something in the air.
There is. There is.
Aries air. We are in your season,
I know.
Baby.
I just love it. Aries season is just always just bountiful for me. I'm like eclipse, full moon, whatever. It doesn't matter. I mean, it shifts the energy a little, but I mm-hmm. just in my full throttle right now.
And right. So, and, yeah. and obviously it is your sun sign and your rising sign. So you love this, but I think as a cardinal sign, the start of seasons, like it, yeah. even for a lot of people, it's the coming of spring, right? And the equinox, like there is a new beginnings feeling for a lot of people just as yeah. Aries season comes because it does start a new season.
Yeah.
So there's something very exciting about these cardinal signs anyway. You guys yeah. are starting things off.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, also true. You are literally, I mean, Aries is the start of the astrological year.
Yes, yeah. that's right.
So it is sort of yep. the happy new year
yeah.
of the zodiac.
Yeah.
So
I am going to make an extreme left turn.
Oh, let's go. Let's go left.
Maybe it's not so much. Well, into reality TV, which I know I won't bore you mm-hmm. with the details of, but to highlight a couple things, I need to think about this a little bit more, but the season of Buying Beverly Hills, which is now sort of the companion to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, where in that Kyle and Mauricio announced their separation at the very end of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And now this show, which is really about real estate, it's not about relationships as much, although it is, it kind of picks up where that one left off and talks about Mauricio's side, the husband side of things, and how the relationship kind of deteriorated after 28 years of marriage and what's happening. And it is so fascinating. And I, in some ways, my book, The Astrology House, started the seed of the idea was watching Erica Jane's astrologer party in the pandemic mm-hmm. on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills in 2020. And then now it's so at that astrology party, which I talk about, but I never talk about it in the way that the astrologer there told Kyle that your husband will never emotionally fulfill you. And that when your kids are out of the house, the relationship will be over. Fast forward three or 4 years later, depending on like when they filmed these things mm-hmm. versus when it's airing, now their relationship has deteriorated. And I just can't help but feel like it's like my book. It's like, did the astrologer saying that get lodged in her head and right. created a distance between them? And that mm-hmm. that then or she fed into
gonna- Or was oh, it going to happen yeah. no matter what?
Right. Or, mm-hmm. yeah. Or was, right. Was that a shining light that she's like, oh my gosh, she's so right. You know, who knows?
Does she remember that? I mean, you remember it. But has it been referenced since? Like, have they said, oh my God.
I'm sorry. You don't watch, you don't follow the Bravo accounts. No, it's a meme every day of the week.
Okay. And, oh, so it's
and
everywhere.
Has been for some time. Yes. I don't know to what extent Kyle follows those things versus blocks
but
those
it's
things. It is absolutely everywhere. The clip of that astrologer saying, your husband will never fulfill you once your kids are out of the house, it's over.
I don't know why I even thought that it would get past people in Bravo. What
land.
Anyway,
yeah.
But wait, the other thing I meant to ask you, because you mentioned this astrologer on the show to me the other day. Why, I didn't even ask you, why is there an astrologer on the show?
No, she's not on the show. It was just like, if the show, every woman often hosts a party. So they have an 80s party. They have a white party.
So someone just
had an astrologer party.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
But this has happened more than once?
Like, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think that was just
so
the one time.
That's the one time. Okay.
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, so it's not a regular
housewives
part of the show.
No. Oh, no, no. Astrology is not part of the show. It's the inciting incident, which is what's made it the inciting incident for my book.
Right. Yeah. Oh, my God. This is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at that. It's coming around. Yeah.
The dichotomy of these very, to be generic about it, these very wealthy, what could be considered superficial, they're not, wealth materialistic women going to something so woo-woo, there was a little bit of a like, whoa, what's happening here? And that's what made it kind of lodge in my mind. Are they really going to pay attention to this woman? Or are they just going to buy their way out of their problems as one might think the cliche works, right? Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's why it sparked something for me.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. So that season just dropped, that Buying Beverly Hills, and we're still going through it, but it's so good. And it's such an incredible, if you watch Beverly Hills Housewives and you're not watching the Mauricio scenes of Buying Beverly Hills, you are missing out on so much. It's wild.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a whole other thing. You guys can be watching. There's always something.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Well,
in reality TV, I just feel like there's always a new season, a new offshoot.
Well, I got to tell you. So Vanderpump Rules has The Valley, which just spun off, which is basically supposed to be Vanderpump Rules is in West Hollywood. It's supposed to be like the grown up version. When you grow up, you cross the mountains and you go to the valley and you have kids and you buy houses and it's terrible. We've only seen one episode, but it is truly unwatchable. And so, it may recover the whole season. They have a whole season ahead of them. I realize it did not miss Jax in any way, shape or form. And seeing him again is a little more jarring than I expected it to be. I'm like, I followed him all along on Vanderpump and not that I liked him ever, but It's a little jarring to have him back. Yeah. So not all of these offshoots work.
Yeah, work. Okay. Yeah.
And Beverly Hills is a Netflix show and it truly is a real estate.
Oh.
It's more of the, in that ilk of $1 million listing.
Right.
These reality
flipper
shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
yeah, yeah.
Those are about construction. These are about just selling real estate and the deals that it takes. Mm-hmm. I was also watching it. It was a little frightening for me to watch and realize people still do the things I used to do, like behave so badly.
Oh,
God. I just feel so far removed from it now. Like, I'm like, wow, they still do that. Yeah, still do that. Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
Glad I'm not there.
I didn't need to see that.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. I'm out.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny.
Yeah. Well, all right. That is a big week.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a lot.
Yeah. So check out what are we leaving people with? Check out tarot, astrology, watch Buying Beverly Hills, Minka Kelly's Tell Me Everything, listen to Dax's interview with her if you're not sure you want to buy the book yet.
So, I did mention on the last one that I was going to start listening to
Listen for the Lie.
Amy Tintera, and you had read it, and I told you that someone had suggested the Audible is so good. I am here to tell you I'm 3/4 of the way through the Audible, and it is fantastic. If you are an Audible person or you're trying, like you're on the fence, it's great because it does, as we said, have these podcasts transcripts if you read the book, but in the Audible, it is actually like the podcast episode with music, like intro music. Like you are in the middle of the story, and then it's like the music comes on for the podcast, and then there's different characters, whoever he interviews. So it's a lot of different voices too. And it is very much like a theatrical, I know not in the way, I know you don't, part of the reason you don't like Audible is it feels like there's theater actors, but for the podcast part, that actually really works.
It makes sense to me. Yeah.
And who's ever reading, I should know, but I don't, but reading the narrating, the main Lucy is, fantastic. Just, it just feels like the right voice for the character. That. And when they nail that, that's good. So I did turn to it, and I am here to say it is definitely worth a listen.
So I vouched first that it lives up to the hype of the book, and then you're also confirming that it lives up to the hype for the audio. It is it is truly a special book for that.
It is. It is.
Good. All right. So
okay.
You have a lot to do. Listeners.
Yes, listeners. And we have a lot of great interviews out right now. We've been reading a lot of books, talking to a lot of authors. So check it out. There's so many debuts to bestsellers.
We have a good mix of both. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Right now.
It's a good season.
And in the coming weeks. So check it out.
All right.